This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good Saturday morning, and it is a beautiful one in this mid-May. Joined today by Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping to talk some gardening. We're smack dab in the middle of spring. Actually, just a little over a month, we'll be in the summer. What the heck is going
on? I'm so over spring.
Are you?
Yes.
Tell me why.
It's just such a crazy, chaotic time for me at professionally. It is just... I can't even put into words how nutty it is. So I'm just getting tired, you know. So I'm ready for a little break. I'm ready for all the spring rush to be over. But I'm not over all the flowers and all the great temperatures that we've been having. So I know there's a lot of good things about spring, but I think just my job is making me a little bit ready to be past it. So
I can understand that. Our phone number is 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900. That is the garden hotline to talk to Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Ask your questions. What's going on in your garden right now or your yard? Are you having any issues with flowers or with bushes or trees or whatnot? So we're here at your service to answer your questions. Michelle, specifically, what are you doing right now that's fatiguing you?
What am I not doing? Let's start there. No, it's just a crazy time. It's all the things about gardening are kind of happening right now, from planting to weeding. My God, the weeds have been exploding. All the rain that we've been having and the warm temperatures, so many weeds. We're mulching, we're planting, we're just doing everything. And right now is the time that we're starting to do our summer containers. We're doing all of those kinds of things. So it's just a lot to deal with, and everyone's calling. The phones are ringing off the hook. So, not only are we trying to get that work done, but we're trying to answer all the phone calls and all the requests from people that want stuff done in their yard. So it's just, a lot of long days. But it's also, this is what we're in it for. This is the time where all the things are happening. And, lots of stuff out there.
I happened to catch a Pointer commercial on TV this morning.
Did you?
Yeah. I was just, they were promoting mainly some of the outdoor projects that are beyond gardening. So I saw fireplaces and kitchens and stuff like that outdoor. They're beautiful.
Yeah, we just do so many cool things. You know, my background is in horticulture, and I worked almost exclusively with plants and things like that before my before starting at Pointer. And whenever I started working with them and seeing some of the crazy projects that they can do, from outdoor kitchens to pools to, you know, pergolas and decks and I mean, just so many things. If you can think about something outside that you want to make or build, we do it. So some really cool projects going on.
Well, let's start with some phone calls. 314-436-7900 is the number. Anne, good morning, Anne. You are up first on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. I have a new weed in my yard this year I've never had before. It's a little tiny stalk, little tiny, with teeny tiny leaves that kind of go to a point. Do you know what that might be?
I don't, not without a photo. There's so many different kinds of weeds out there.
If I didn't know, how would I treat it? We put the pre-emergent down.
Sure.
So, and that didn't do it, but I've never had it before, and I don't know how to treat it. I don't want to just go out there with weed be gone and kill my yard.
Yeah, so it's in the turf or it's in your flower bed?
No, it's in my turf.
So, I mean, a great way, I mean, if there's not a lot of it, the first option is probably the simplest option. If there's just a few out there, just go out there and pull it or dig it out. Just try to make sure you get the root. Not knowing what it is kind of, you know, you want to kind of know what the weed is, because some weeds spread from their root. Some weeds spread from the flower seeds. So if it's one of those kind of roots, you know, that we're seeing a lot of nut sedge emerging right now. Pulling nut sedge isn't always effective, because if you leave any of those roots underground, it'll just grow back from that. So spraying nut sedge.
What is nut sedge?
Nut sedge
look like?
It looks like a grass. I don't think it's what you're describing.
That's not it at all. No.
So knowing what that is kind of a helpful thing. There are a couple of there are a lot of actually plant apps out there that you could take a picture of, and it'll help you to identify the plant. I don't necessarily think that you need to do that. Most of the time, pulling those weeds, making sure you're getting the roots by digging them out or cutting them back before they go to seed. And again, the other option is spraying and getting a product that you can spray that doesn't kill your grass. That's just going to kill those broadleaf.
Probably more than I can pull out.
Yeah.
If I wanted to dig some up and take it somewhere to have someone identify it, where would I take it?
I mean, you can call. The Missouri Botanical Garden has a plant hotline. Most of the time when you dig up those weeds, though, they're going to lose all the water and they're going to shrivel up. And by the time you get it to where it's going, they won't be able to identify it. So taking a picture of it is probably the easiest way. And, the University of Missouri Extension Office also has horticulturists on staff that will answer your questions. And again, the Missouri Botanical Garden has a plant hotline as well that you can ask questions of them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Anne, at 314-436-7900. Up next, let's go to Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, good morning. I just have two questions. One is, with all the rain, I delayed trimming my upright boxwood. Is it too late to trim those back a little bit? It's already got all the new growth coming out.
It's actually not too late. We just started doing boxwood pruning. Anytime after that frost line, so anytime after, about mid-April, you can start pruning your boxwoods. I like to wait until they flush out all of that new growth so that you can, you don't have to do it multiple times. So right now is actually the perfect time to start pruning your boxwoods.
Great. Any suggestions on keeping squirrels out of all my potted plants?
This is a great question. I actually had a client email me the other day saying, when you show up to plant our containers, we need to address the squirrels. So, you know, squirrels are, you know, they're my nemesis. They are constantly getting into things like your containers. They eat my tomatoes all summer long. So the squirrels and I do not have a great relationship, and they are sometimes or often hard to control, especially from digging. Right now, they're digging in all of your pots, trying to find all of those acorns that they hid over the winter. And, you know, maybe they hid some in there, maybe they didn't. So there is a lot of options. People, you know, say you should use, you can use, you know, pepper, red pepper flakes, and that does work for them. But that's kind of a short-term situation, because if it rains or as you're watering, those things kind of dissipate over time. We kind of discussed with my client, she wanted to know if using some kind of a chicken wire or something around the edges after she planted, or putting that chicken wire over the top of the container and letting those plants grow through. You know, that is an option, I guess, but I think that that's kind of cumbersome. And as your plants grow, it kind of inhibits the growth of those plants, and it becomes, you know, kind of, I don't know, it just kind of gets in the way. So really, and there are also other deterrents that you can buy from the store that are, you know, just other granular or spray. But there's really not a lot, because you can put that stuff down. They're going to learn that it's there. And then as it dissipates, they're going to learn that it's no longer there. They're going to keep investigating. So, if you're going to do something, I think just being consistent. If you're putting out like the pepper, then you just need to do it consistently. Or if you're using another product, just making sure you're like on a schedule so that you can keep them away.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do now is I picked up a bunch of rock, I was going to say, different shapes of rock, about 2-3 inches, and I'm putting it every place on top of the soil around the plants.
Yeah, in the open spaces, that's a great idea.
You know, so, I mean, I still have one occasionally getting in there, but it seems like it's helping a little bit, but I want to make sure it's not going to hurt the plants either. And I figure as the plants get larger, then I can probably take the rock out, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that's a great solution.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah, appreciate it, Pat.
Good luck with those squirrels. They drive me nuts.
Well, it sounds like they're not dumb if they're figuring
this
stuff out.
They're not dumb. No. You can look on the internet. I don't know if you've ever seen these videos of people will put they'll do these little crazy creations to make these squirrels. It's like a squirrel obstacle course, and they will learn how to do all of those things. They're super smart.
All right. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping is here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. If you've already called in, we'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. And the lines are open for more calls on the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions this morning at 314-436-7900. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning, Sue. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions. I've got a huge flower bed that is got inundated with weeds, and I've been pulling them by hand because I don't really want to upset the soil by using Roundup or Weed Be Gone. Is that, how long does that affect the soil and the worms, etc.?
So as far as herbicides go, there are kind of two different kinds. There are some that will affect the soil, and you shouldn't plant. Some of the labels, if you read them, tell you after the use of this product, you should not plant anything for sometimes up to a year. And then things like Roundup are a foliar spray, so they are only affecting plants if they're sprayed directly onto the foliage, then that's how they're absorbed into the plants. So they don't stick around in the soil, so that you could spray Roundup, and then once it dries, essentially, you can immediately plant into the soil and not have a problem with that residual, the residual stuff down in the soil. So depending on the product you use, you could plant immediately or, you know, maybe not for a year. But it is always important when you're using any kind of product to read that label and, you know, kind of, because I've actually made that mistake myself and sprayed a product. And then, you know, a week or two later, I planted and, you know, within a couple weeks, my plants were dead and I was scratching my head until I reread that label and figured out why. But yeah, what's your other question?
Well, is Roundup going to kill the worms?
No.
Oh, okay. Then I'm not so upset about using it because I've got lots and lots of healthy worms in there. The other question is, my azalea is done blooming. Can I trim it?
Yes, absolutely. This is the perfect time. Immediately after your azaleas bloom is the perfect time for pruning.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for calling in, Sue. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Ken. Good morning, Ken. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, good morning. My question is about our asparagus patch. We have a small patch. It's over 10 years old, but about 5 to 10% of the stalks, as they emerge out of the ground, they turn yellow and die. And we've never had this before, and I just wonder what's going on. Now, I did, last fall, I did put about 3 inches of mulch from the electric companies were trimming the wire lines, and I have access to a bunch of that mulch. And I did put a bunch of mulch on. I don't know if there's anything can be from that, or what are your thoughts?
So my gut, again, it's always so hard to give a definitive answer without seeing the situation. But from what you're saying, my gut is thinking that it might be a fungal issue because the entire plant isn't affected. It makes me think that it might have just maybe some overcrowding or some kind of, you know, you put that fresh mulch on, which shouldn't be like a huge problem. But sometimes when we have an older plant like that, you said it's 10 years old, so it's probably got a really dense crown. Even if you're not seeing it on the surface, you can have all of those years of growth and roots and stuff underground. And then you put some new mulch on top of it, which is great. But sometimes that can create, and then especially we've had kind of a wet spring, late winter into spring. It's been a little bit wetter. We've had some warm temperatures. Yeah. So all of that can lead to some fungal issues. So what you might want to do, you know, now that kind of the harvesting season is over, is maybe dig some of that up and split it so that you have a little bit less crowding. And that might help with some airflow and just, you know, helping reduce the risk of having that fungal issue.
Huh. Very interesting. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Ken. We appreciate the phone call at 314-436-7900. Let's next go to Chris. Chris, good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping.
Hey, good morning. Had a couple of questions. One, on the using mulch that has just been chopped up, I've heard that that is not something that's really a good thing to do. I don't know exactly why. I got some when they trimmed my trees and left it on my property, and I used it in spots that I really didn't care much about. But I'm curious on that. And my second question is, I planted some 15 or 20 foot Dawn redwoods last fall, and I'm thrilled they made it through the freeze. My question is on fertilizing those. Do you recommend spikes for the bigger trees, or granular, or liquid, or what's a good suggestion to get those guys growing? And keep them growing fast.
So as far, tell me again, when did you plant those trees?
I planted them probably mid-summer, maybe.
So they're still young.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they were 20 foot tall
when you planted them. Yeah. So their root system isn't like hugely established, is kind of what I'm going for. All of those options are fine options. So whatever you do to fertilize, whether it's the granular or liquid or even using those spikes, like all of those are going to do what you want it to do. You know, a lot of times with the more established trees that have a bigger root system, they do use spikes. But drenching or using that liquid is also really a great option. I actually tend, whenever I do the liquid stuff or fertilizing in that way, I like to use like a root stimulator if I need to. And that might be a good option for you because you do have newer trees and your roots are still trying to get established. And then granular is also, you know, a great option. I think that we tend to do granular a lot in our flower beds, on shrubs and you know, our perennials if they need it. But again, all three of those options, are great. And, you know, for me, if I'm thinking about your new tree, I would be thinking more about, you know, getting those roots established than anything else. So maybe incorporating some kind of a root stimulator or compost tea or something like that would be beneficial for it. And not all trees need fertilization every year. I always recommend before you start fertilizing, that you get that soil test, and it would tell you whether or not you actually need to fertilize. And then as far as that mulch, the mulching with fresh wood chips goes, I mean, you can do that. Again, it is recommended that you wait. I think it's like a year before you use any wood chips around plantings. And I'd like to give you some really great scientific explanation for that. But it's totally escaping my brain at the moment. But they do typically recommend. I have also had a tree removed and they came and ground out the stump. And I used that mulch on beds that were kind of in the back of my property that weren't super important to me, that I just wanted to get some coverage on. And I was able to let those kind of dry out in those back beds. So using it, you know, in open areas or areas that aren't heavily planted, if you're going to use it right away.
Okay, great. Thank you for all the help.
Yep, good luck.
Thanks, Chris. Phone number is 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer is here to answer your questions. We've got people waiting on the phones, and we'll get to those in just a moment on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome into the Garden Hotline. If you're just joining us on 104.1 FM, KMOX, I'm Scott Jagow with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions today about all garden topics, your yard, your garden, what's going on, any issues you're having. Let's go to the phones. The number is 314-436-7900. Steve is up next. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, Michelle. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I have two quick questions. The first one is, I had a tree removed and the stump ground out. Now, how do I get to turn that back into my yard? Should I remove all the grindings and fill it full of topsoil, treat the stump grow ring, or what would you suggest about that?
Yeah, so we typically just suggest that you try to remove as much of the grindings as possible. Especially, I mean, if you're gonna turn it back into a garden bed, or even if you're gonna put turf over the top, it's really important to try to get as much of that wood out of there. And then, yes, like you said, just fill with topsoil. And then we kind of almost always overfill it a little bit, because as that kind of settles back in, it'll create a divot if you don't kind of overfill it. And then you can go ahead and put, you can plant in it. You can, put your sod or seed over the top of it. I don't typically recommend putting a tree exactly in the exact same spot as an old tree came out. But yeah, that's definitely exactly right on with that. You have another question?
Yes, I do, ma'am. I have two sweet gum trees, and they're real large trees, older trees, and they have this scaly stuff on all the branches. And I had planted some more oak trees within about 50 feet, 75 feet of them. And now 8 or 10 years later, these trees are growing up, and they have the same scaly branch stuff all over the branches. Is there anything I can do with that? And what is it?
I don't know what it is. Again, so hard to tell without without pictures, but it sounds like it could just be lichen. Is it like a light grayish color?
Yeah, and the best way I can describe it, it's like scaly growths on all the branches, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, again, it's hard to tell. It could be some kind of fungal thing, but it sounds like maybe it just might be lichen, which is completely harmless. It's just a fungus. But yeah, without pictures, it's hard to tell. If your trees are still looking healthy and growing well, and you're not getting a lot of, you know, dead branches or things like that, I don't think you should worry too much about it. But if you are worried, you might just call an arborist out to check things out.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you. Good morning.
Good luck.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Steve. You too. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline to ask your question of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer. Let's go next to Art. Art, good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I've got questions concerning pin oaks. I've got two of them, and one's come out real fine. And like 2 weeks ago, I heard a caller call in, and his pin oak was dead at the top. Well, I've got just the opposite, where it's live at the top, and it's slowly coming in at the bottom. Is that tree going to be okay? Or should I fertilize it, or what?
We're seeing a lot of trees that have been a little bit slow to leaf out. I think, at this time of year, it's just kind of one of those things where you just have to be patient and wait and see. There are a lot of trees. I've been seeing a lot of black gums that are slow to leaf out, red maples, a lot of oaks that are kind of struggling a bit. It may or may not come out of it. You know, it might just have, you know, a little bit of struggle bus happening and needing that little extra time, or it might be having, some disease issues.
Sure.
So I think your option is to just kind of wait and see. It's not always fertilization that these things need. It could be bacterial, it could be fungal. So getting a soil test is always always my recommendation. And then getting an arborist out. There could be some kind of a pathogen that you can't see, or a bug or something like that that's happening that could be treated in a different way other than fertilization. That fertilization would help if your tree is struggling, but if we don't know the cause, then fertilization is
there. Is there a good fertilizer? I mean, you know, you look on the phone and it says 10, 10, 10.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah. Okay. Just a basic fertilizer, doesn't need anything specific.
Okay. The other thing is, you know, those wasp balls that they get on pin oaks?
Yep.
Does that affect that tree or anything?
I mean, it can over time. It depends on how bad the infestation is. If it's just a small infestation, it could just affect the tips. And you can have some branch dieback or branch by branch dieback. But if it becomes, you know, a huge infestation over time, it can affect the health of the tree and it can decline. But typically, it's not a huge health concern.
So I don't have to chase down those balls and cut them off or anything?
No.
You know, okay. Well, like I said, when I heard that one guy said his tree was dead at the top, and I thought, well, this one's live at the top, you know.
Yeah, well, that's also a good sign. I mean, some lower branches, you know, maybe not as big of a problem, but, you know, there's a ton of arborists out there that will come and assess your trees. So I always recommend that, especially if it's a high value, large shade tree like that. So thanks for your call, Art.
Thank you. Bye.
Up next, we have Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. You're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. I have a question for you. I know it's kind of like diagnosing a car without seeing the problem, but, we have some, I don't know if you call it foliage, but like clumps of the stuff in our landscape. And people say it's maybe monkey grass or something. It's got like stripes in it and it's green and it's really nice looking. Well, we've never had this happen before, but this year we have new growth popping up in the middle of it that's really pretty. And it makes it look like this other stuff is awful and it's taking over, which I'm glad about that because it's beautiful. But do you have any clue, like, why that would be happening after 5 years of being in a house? This was pre-planted. We don't know what it is, and I was just wondering if that even remotely sounds familiar to you, maybe?
I like this question. I like the delivery. No, I like the delivery of the question. It makes me smile. But does this bloom at all? Have you seen it bloom?
The other ones had blooms in it, but right now this is like a solid green, maybe a little bit of striping in it, but there's no blooms yet, but it's gorgeous. It's this really pretty foliage. Maybe it's a different version of the same plant, but why after 5 years would this be popping up? We're not sure. So I just thought I'd call in and see what you had to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know exactly what it is. If it is monkey grass, I mean, that can, this liriope, there are different kinds of that. Those are green. They have sometimes skinny leaves. Sometimes they're whiter. They also have some variegated versions of them. But those tend to spread from underground rhizomes. So if there was just one piece of it 1 year, you just had a couple of them, you know, it could just have gotten established and spread underground and is popping up more. There's another thing that's a little bit spready and invasive that kind of was looking good for a while. It looks kind of grassy, but it's a bulb called Star of Bethlehem. That would be blooming right now, or would have bloomed a couple of weeks ago, a white bloom. And now it's going to start turning yellow and fading away. So it doesn't look like there's anything there for, you know, 3/4 of the year. You don't even see it. And that also spreads underground and makes more bulbs. So, without seeing it, I don't really know, but they can be dormant, laying dormant underground and then spread in that way. So,
Oh, that's cool. It's coming up right through the center of the other plant. I mean, it's like, it looks like a whole new plant is blooming from the other plant, and it's pretty neat. It's like bonus stuff, you know? So, well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Phone lines will be open, and the phone number to reach us is 314-436-7900.
Michelle Reese West answering your questions. She's from Pointer Landscaping, been on the program many times, and the number to call to reach her is 314-436-7900. Up next, we go to Marilyn. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, what's your question?
Oh, well, interesting. This is the first year we've planted tomatoes from seed, and normally we buy a plant, and it's a single stem. Well, when we transplanted the little plants to the big container, I noticed there are multiple stems, is that a problem? Does that mean there are more than one tomato plant, or... I've never done it from seed before.
Yeah, so most likely what has happened is when you put those seeds in there, you might have put more than one seed down and you got more than one germination. So if there's three stems, you could definitely thin those out down to one. You can get rid of those, or you can grow those into additional tomato plants. But it is probably important to get those separated out there. You're just extra good at germinating those seeds, it sounds like.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. I kept looking, and they're pretty tall now. They're, yeah. You know. And so I kept thinking there's something wrong here. There should only be one stem.
Yeah, so you can just pull those out if they're not rooted in super tight, or if needed, you can just cut them back. But definitely should reduce down to one, just so you can have a little healthier plant.
I was afraid of that. I really appreciate your information. Thanks for your show.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Marilyn, at 314-436-7900. Jennifer, good morning. You're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? What's your question?
Okay, so I have a question about roses. I have one rose bush in the front of my house. It's been there probably 10 or 15 years. And then I have another one that I just planted 2 years ago in the back of my house. One was yellow and one was white. And they've grown, and they stayed like that for a couple years. And now they're both, almost like trellisy, and they're both red. What's the reason for that?
Magic. It's just magic.
Oh, wow.
No, you have a magic rose bush. So most of the time, or I shouldn't say most of the time, some of the time roses are grafted, which just means that they take rootstock from a rose that they know is really good, and it has low disease, or it gets it, and it's a really great rose, but it doesn't have the same, they want to switch the top, so they'll graft on some other color of rose or some other type of rose to that more solid rootstock. And then, but sometimes what happens is that rootstock will send out its own canes. So that rootstock, so that rootstock underground is a completely different rose than what's been grafted on top. And it is common. Yeah. So it sounds like what's happened is over time that rootstock has decided to grow its own. And who knows what kind of root or what kind of rose that is. So it sounds like if they're long canes, it could be some kind of climbing rose. So you can let that keep growing and it will be fine. Or you can just cut off those extra ones that are coming up.
Interesting. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, it is kind of like magic, though.
Is it?
I know, right? That's what I thought, yeah. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Patricia. You're up next on the Garden Hotline. Hello, Patricia.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. My question is about voles, but I'm also calling about, I have a vacation place in the mountains in Colorado, and I've just started having ground squirrels, which I'd never heard of. Do you treat voles and ground squirrels the same way, and how do you do that environmentally friendly?
That's a good question about ground squirrels. I'm not familiar with those.
Yeah.
But
with the voles.
Yeah, so environmentally, you can, if you don't want to put down chemical or product, there are traps and things like that you can use. And I'm not sure of any kind of organic products, but I think traps are what they use a lot of times for moles and voles. So an exterminator might be the way to go if you don't want to you don't want to deal with that personally.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's what I'll try,
because
I'd like to avoid the chemical bits if possible. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Those are always a pain, all those critters that are underground and moving around. And I mean, there are a couple options. I mean, chemicals people don't always want to use, but they can be. Voles especially will eat your plant roots and cause a lot of damage in the garden. So it's a fun little thing about gardening is there's always bugs and critters and things like that you have to deal with along with it. So it's fun.
Michelle Reeser-West, Pointer Landscaping. She's here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. We have another hour to go, so stay tuned for that on 104.1 FM. KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Bright, sunny day, Mother's Day weekend, and we have Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping here to answer your gardening questions on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. Let's get right back to the phones. Robert, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi, this is Robert from Florissant. Thank you for your show. Great information. You're doing a great job. I want trumpet vines, and I ordered a half a dozen plants from a mail order house in Tennessee, rootstock. And I planted them about 4 weeks ago, and I just can't get them to take off. And how can I get the trumpet vines, or like the red-orange trumpet vines? Thank you.
Yeah, so sometimes getting those root, I mean, I've purchased some bare root plants before, and I have varying degrees of success with them. I've tried grapes in that manner. I have some raspberries right now that I planted three of the rootstock, and I think one of the three is currently alive. So sometimes those are a little bit finicky. You know, you have to keep them when you get rootstock in. I think they recommend soaking those overnight or at least for several hours before planting them and then keeping them consistently moist. So if they dry out, I think that really adversely affects those plants a lot more than plants that you might get that come in a pot with soil and roots already established. So when you're trying to break those from dormancy, it's just really important to keep those roots wet. And then, as I mean, just trumpet vines in general, I actually don't see those for sale very often. I'm not sure if that's, you know, why that is, other than they are really aggressive growers and can become a little bit invasive in your garden if you don't tend to those. But as far as planting rootstock goes, that's my advice. It's just a really, really, you got to pay attention and keep them wet so they don't dry out.
I like them because they not only are pretty, but I understand they attract hummingbirds also, and like the hummingbirds.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah,
thank
good
for
luck.
A great show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah, hummingbirds are always cool to have around.
I love hummingbirds.
I know, me too.
Yeah, and I think they're like back now. I always kind of wait for that time of year. I think people are starting to see them around town, so it's they're really cool to watch.
They are. I can't believe how fast they move their wings. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline to ask your question of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Well, it is Mother's Day weekend. Last week we talked about roses for the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
The flower for Mother's Day traditionally is the carnation.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how difficult it is to grow roses in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
How about carnations?
They're not good either.
They're not good either.
I'm sorry to say. No, you can totally grow carnations here. They typically, it's in the dianthus family. There's a ton of dianthus that do well in St. Louis. I've tried to grow carnation from seed a couple of times. I really like cut flowers and growing flowers to put in, bring inside and put them in a vase or create bouquets with them. But carnations can be typically kind of hard to grow, especially if you're trying from seed. But, you know, carnations are a little bit out of favor. They kind of became out of favor, even as, you know, in bouquets or sending them, just a little bit cliche. You always kind of saw them on like a boutonniere or something for like the prom back in the day or something like that. But they are, I think, coming back. I think there's a lot of different varieties that florists are using more and more, you know. I don't know, in like elementary school, like science class, did they ever have you put like a white one in a vase and you put like dye in it, and you like over time the dye is brought up the stem and you can change the color of carnation. So you can, and sometimes you see them in like grocery stores and they're like lime green or something like that, but it's that's not natural. But you can. It was like some little science experiment that you do in like elementary school, changing the color of your carnation with like food dye. But yeah, so they're, I mean, it's an interesting plant. And again, they're coming back. They're becoming more popular because they have a lot of different varieties. I think there's some like crazy numbers, like 300 different varieties of carnation. So hopefully within those 300 varieties, you can find one that you like.
Do you get people asking for them?
No.
No.
So it's typically, I mean, like I said, they're typically a cut flower plant. They're not necessarily something that we in St. Louis or in our zone have a lot of carnations growing. And again, you could try to grow them as cut flowers, but they're not necessarily a common landscape plant.
What does that term mean, cut flowers, in terms of growing?
They're plants that you're specifically growing to cut and put in a vase.
Okay.
You know, a lot of different plants. Carnation's a great example. It lasts like 2 weeks in a vase. So they're typically flowers that last really long once they're cut and look really good in bouquets. Sometimes you cut a flower, and even if you put it immediately in water, it won't last very long. So cut flowers are just specifically for making bouquets and cutting and bringing them inside.
Let's go back to the phones. Phil, good morning. You are on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Hi, a couple of reasons for my call. I was kind of wondering how Mike was doing. Is there any recent prognosis? And I want to add that Michelle is probably I don't see how you could have found a better one to take his place.
Well, I don't have an update. Steve might, but I do appreciate the nice comment. That's nice. Thank you so much for saying that.
Do you have a question, Phil?
One more thing. I just heard the guy about the trumpet vine.
Yep.
I don't live there anymore, but I had one maybe 10, 15 years ago where I used to live, and it literally tore my trellis apart. I could not believe it.
Yeah, they're really vigorous growers. They become really woody. They get really heavy. So, if, you know, they kind of can take over a space. And like I said, they're a tiny bit invasive. And, you know, they're just really heavy. So if you're going to have one, or if you have one, you're going to need a really solid structure to keep them upright.
Right. Mike warned me about that a long time ago. So be careful what you ask for, buddy. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, what is it about trumpet vines? What do they do? They just grow really fast, and
yeah, they're fast, and they just get really woody. Like if you think of some vines, like a clematis is really skinny. It just kind of twines around. It dies back every year, and it kind of stays manageable. The trumpet vine is really woody. It can get really big and thick, and it grows really aggressively and a lot in one season. So it can kind of just take over everything.
Something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
The phone number is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping will continue taking your questions as we roll on 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, along with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. She is answering your gardening questions today on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. If you have a question about your lawn or garden, let's go next to Al. Good morning, Al. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I got a question. I have a coral bark Japanese maple, and I put it in the ground last fall. This spring, it came back good and healthy looking. I noticed when we were getting all that rain last weekend, the leaves started turning yellow, and now the leaves on top are brown and on the from the top down, and then there's some yellow leaves left towards the bottom. And I was wondering what could be going on with that. It's on a slope, so there's not in standing water.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there could be several possibilities. You planted it last year, you said?
Last fall.
So one of the things, it leafed out well, and then we have had a ton of rain. If the roots are not super established, or you're in maybe like a, I don't know if you have a compacted clay soil, that could be a little bit, I mean, it sounds like it's on a slope, so the water should be running away from it. I'm also seeing a lot of fungal issues around town, a lot of anthracnose and things like that, which can affect the color of the leaves and change it to yellow. Is there any like curling of the leaves or anything like that, or it's just a color change?
It seems like there's curling on the top. They turned brown, like they're dying.
Yeah. So one of the symptoms of anthracnose is some curling of the leaves, and there's some brown spots around the edges, and then it will eventually turn brown. But I mean, it may well be a fungal issue. It could be, you know, a little bit of overwatering. I mean, there are a lot of options, especially with a new tree, that's not fully established yet. So I think you should probably just keep an eye on it. You know, hopefully we'll have a little bit less rain or a little bit of drying out between. I know we've just are super saturated right now. And then as far as the fungal issue goes, if it is fungal, you can remove those diseased branches and get rid of them, cut them off and get rid of it if it is fungal. And then you can spray with a fungicide to try to keep it from spreading to other areas. But one of the ways that fungal's issue spread is in all of this rain, and the rain will hit anywhere that has that fungus, and then the fungus can splash to other areas on the plant and spread it around. So I think if it's dying back, I would prune that out just in case those are, you know, a fungal issue. We don't want it to spread even further.
Okay. The only other thing I could throw out there is about 2 days prior to this, I had the lawn treated for weed control and grub control. But it was treated a time or two before that for weed control. Would that have anything to do with it?
It can. You know, I get on my redbud, I will see some effect from the chemicals put down for lawn treatment, but it's typically just like a curliness around the edges of the leaf. I rarely see just a single branch or just a few yellow. Most of the time, if it's something like that from your lawn treatment, it'll affect the entire tree, not just one or two branches. So I think that's
okay. This is kind of going down the whole tree. I mean, it's you know, the tree's only maybe 3.5 foot tall.
Yeah. I mean, I would keep your eye on it. The other thing you could look for to see if there's any cicada damage from last year, if it's just tips, but yeah.
No, there's no cicada damage. Okay. I actually had it in the pot. And I planted it, you know, last, I don't know, October.
Yeah. So. Well, good luck to you. I hope that you find the solution, or, you know, you can get it treated for fungicide, or just keep an eye on it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Al, at 314-436-7900. The Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West. Up next, we have Peggy. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question. On the tulips, once they, you know, start dying off, how long do you have to leave the leaves there?
So, I mean, there are people that cut them off immediately. What happens with tulips is that, you know, they store all of their energy for next year in the bulb. So the more they can photosynthesize, the better. So leaving them up until they turn yellow will allow them to create and then store the most amount of energy for next year. If you cut them back, you know, they may or may not. Tulips are, you know, kind of for me, an annual, I almost never leave them in the ground. If I plant tulips, I'm pulling them and putting new tulips in. They typically don't last more than a season or two. There are some varieties that will stick around for years, but those are, I think, a little less common. So for me, tulips is a season or two of interest, and then I dig them out. But if you can let them yellow and kind of melt away and then clean them back or clean them up, then that is the most beneficial, like horticulturally, for the tulip.
Okay. Well, I bought some new ones this year. How long should I leave those in the pot? And should I wait to put them in the ground till, like, what, September or something? Or?
You can wait till September. Again, you just need to store those or wait till they, you know, those leaves turn yellow, and then you can store them if you're not going to plant them until September. Store them in some, like, peat moss or a cool, dry place over the summer. I wouldn't keep them in your hot garage or anything like that. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was wondering about that because I had some like that. Yeah. So I should probably keep them more inside, like in a brown bag or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All righty. Well, thanks for your help and
good luck
for answering everything.
Yep.
Have a good day.
You too, Peggy. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. Michelle, Reese, or Wes answering your questions. Up next, we have Nancy. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your question?
I have a question. I have bushes in the front of my house, and I think they're called boxcar. They're box something. Boxcar, would that be the name of a bush?
Boxwood?
Boxwood, yes, ma'am. And I have one that's dying now. And can I replace that with another boxwood bush? I thought I heard somebody say that the soil's bad now, and I can't replace it with the same another boxwood.
So you should be able to replace with a boxwood, another boxwood. I would maybe be interested in why that boxwood died. A lot of boxwoods can have pest and disease issues that can spread to the boxwoods around. So if you plant a new boxwood and the other boxwoods are infested with, say, spider mites or leaf miner, then that could become an issue with your new boxwood. So it's typically not a soil issue with boxwood, so that shouldn't be a problem, but I would definitely see if there are, if the boxwoods around are affected by something, or if they're healthy, then I would, you know, go ahead and plant a new one. But trying to figure out why that other one died.
Yes, I've had it there for like 20 years.
Okay.
But all of the other ones are really good and healthy. But should I spray the other ones with anything to make sure?
Yeah, I mean, if you suspect that there's another pest infestation, which we're seeing a lot of in boxwoods, leaf miner, like I said, and spider mites, I wouldn't just do spraying just for spraying sake, because anytime you spray for the bad bugs, you're killing the good bugs as well. So I would only spray if you need to, so you can kind of investigate the leaves to see if the other boxwood leaves are looking nice and green and healthy. Then you shouldn't spray. If there's any kind of you know, bubbling of the leaves, curling of the leaves, or little white specks on the leaves, that might be an indication that there's a pest issue and they need to be sprayed.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Nancy. 314-436-7900 is the number to call to ask your question of Michelle. I have my own question here.
Oh, I love your question.
Yeah. this question is about annuals versus perennials.
Uh-huh.
So can you explain the difference between the two for a layman, and then also why would you plant one over the other?
So a perennial is something that comes back perennially every year. So if you plant the perennial, then it's going to come back for you every year. It's within our zone, our hardiness zone. So if you put it in the ground, you're just going to have it for a really long time. Annuals you have to put in annually, and they are not hardy in our zone. So you have to replant them. They'll die back every year and you'll replant them. The reason why people plant annuals is that often annuals have just really profuse blooms. They're often tropical looking. They bloom pretty much the entire season, whereas some perennials will bloom for the entire season, but some perennials bloom for 2 weeks and then they're done and they just look like, you know, leafy green things. So planting annuals gives pops of color. It gives some seasonal interest. You can swap out, you know, there are plants that do well in the spring. There are plants that are, like I said, more tropical and do really well for us in the summer. There are things like mums in the fall that are blooming in the fall that give us a little bit of seasonal interest. But perennials give you more bang for your buck because they come back year after year. And annuals, I think, is just kind of like the icing, kind of like the decoration of the garden where you can play with them and mix and match and switch things out year after year. So it can get expensive to do that, to swap out plants every year, but it's kind of a fun way to play around with plants.
Yeah, I would think experimentation a little bit. If you're doing annuals, then
yeah, you can try
could just
something
change
new.
It up.
Try new colors, new textures, new things every year. So I love them. I love what it brings to the garden. And I think it's kind of a playful way to bring in different colors and shapes and sizes.
And I would think if you really enjoy getting into the soil and planting, then annuals also are an option because you're going to get the pops of color.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to do the gardening work.
Yeah, so. It's. I think annuals are a fun option for sure.
Well, let's continue with the phone calls after a break. It is 314-436-7900. We're getting close to your last chance to ask a question today of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. So what's on your mind? Let us know. 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West here to answer your questions this morning as we hit mid-May. You guys sound like you're crazy busy at Pointer.
So busy. I can't even tell you how busy it is. But it's also, you know, it's exciting time, and I should not complain about being busy. It's an absolutely wonderful problem to have. So, yeah.
But being in the garden and working, your body might complain.
Yeah, I, you know, it's really interesting because I don't typically get to be outside in the garden. You know, that's why I got into this industry is because I wanted to be out in the garden playing with plants. But, you know, the longer you're in it and the higher you climb on the ladder, there are times when I'm like, I don't even remember the last time I've touched a plant, you know, because I'm doing paperwork and I'm in my office all the time. But this time of year is really a time where it's kind of all hands on deck. So, you know, I've been out in people's gardens a lot, and my body can definitely tell that I am, you know, getting a little older and I'm not as in shape as I used to be when I was gardening every day and out in the field every day. So, you know, it's good to get your body moving, though, get those cobwebs off.
That's true. All right, let's continue with the phone calls. Greg, you are on the Garden Hotline with Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Hi, Michelle. Hey, I have a question. I've got a couple trees that have, I guess I want to say, a wound, basically, toward the base of them where they've lost some of their bark and whatever. And it's looking kind of dry, almost maybe a little bit of rot going on. And I'm wondering, they used to say once upon a time to use like pine tar or something to dress that to try and seal it. What do you suggest?
So that they don't typically suggest that anymore, sealing the plant or putting anything over it. I think the best thing to do, especially if it's down at the base, is to make sure that you've got all that mulch and soil pulled out from the root flare. The root flare is kind of that the base of the tree. It's where the tree goes from kind of being straight to flaring out. It's the kind of the first set of roots that are going out. So you always, when you're planting a tree, you want to try to get that root flare above the grade of the ground around it. Sometimes when you buy a tree, from the grower, it was either planted too low, or when they dig it out, the soil can kind of come back up around that root flare. So finding that root flare, digging out any mulch or soil that could have come on top of that is really important. So pulling all of that away. If you have an irrigation system or sprinkler system that's constantly spraying on that wound, kind of redirecting that and trying to keep it as dry as possible is also good, but really it's just about time and keeping that stuff away from it and letting that tree heal itself without putting anything over the top of it.
Okay. I've got some maples also that seem to be having this problem and basically almost opening up a hole at the bottom or the base of the tree. Is that normal?
I mean, it can be, you know, it could have had a wound or a pest or disease issue that opened it up to, you know, to having a larger problem. If it becomes a big wound or it's not healing over, I think that, you know, again, having an arborist come out and take a look at that, there are treatments to be done. If it, you know, if it's a bacterial or a fungal issue, there are things that can be done. If it's, you know, bug related, there are treatments. It could be a wound from, you know, transport. It could be a wound from a lawnmower or a string trimmer, you know, and those pathogens can get inside that wound and make it worse. But yeah, it's just really about keeping it dry, keeping things away from it, and letting it try to heal itself and treating it if needed.
Okay. Okay, great. Hey, thank you so very much.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Thanks, Greg. Up next, we go to Roger. Good morning. You're on the air with Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. Thank you for your service. Last year, I introduced about 4 bee balm plants in my landscaping. And the other day, I was reading online that bee balm can be very invasive. Now I'm wondering if I should take them out. Have you run into those problems?
So I wouldn't call bee balm invasive. I would call it aggressive. It is a native. It's a great plant. It's called bee balm because it does attract a lot of those bees and pollinators. It is one of my favorite plants, but it can be a little bit of a, you know, a bully. It can be a little pushy out in your garden. And I just mean it, you know, it kind of spreads very quickly. But it is easily manageable. So it does have that aggressive quality, but it's super easy to manage and to keep it under control with just a little bit of maintenance and you know, digging out what you don't want, or planting a buddy that's equally aggressive so it doesn't take over the space. But bee balm is a great plant. I, you know, highly recommend people using it, but it is a spreader. And it can take some maintenance to keep it under control. And if it spreads all over that space, it can be, you know, if it gets out of control or it takes over a part of your garden, it can be hard to get it back under control. And it may take, you know, a lot of labor or even a herbicide sometimes to get it to be in the space that you intended it to be. But I think when it's young, it's the easiest to manage. So keeping it in check, it sounds like you just planted it recently or within the last couple of years. So it should be very easy to manage. So aggressive, but manageable. People have also described me that way, but just joking. But I'm happy to recommend bee balm all the time. It's a great plant.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks for the phone call, Roger, at 314-436-7900. What exactly is bee balm?
Bee balm is a plant. It's a perennial. It's native. There's a ton of different cultivars, a ton of different types, but there's all different shapes and sizes, I should say, not necessarily shapes, but it's a great perennial. Plant smells really good. The flower is not as fragrant, if I recall, but the foliage of it smells really good. It's in the mint family. So it's got a really fragrant leaf, but it's really good for pollinators. It's a great native. It's most of the time a full sun plant. There are some woodland. They're in our woodlands, the native Monardus. So you can find them along, you know, the sides of the woods and sporadically within like a dappled shade area. But they, you know, they're really adaptable and a great native that we like to use a lot.
Let's take another question from Lou this time. Good morning, Lou. You're on with Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. What a year for plants. The plants are just exploding.
Yeah.
Hey, Kim, how, you know, my peonies as well as my daylilies are growing huge. Can I split them? And when can I split them?
So, yes, the answer is yes. And absolutely, splitting them is great. you know, the daylilies can be a little faster at spreading and really don't care about timing of when you dig them up and split them. But right now, for really either one of them is fine. Peonies also like to be split in the fall. They tend to do a little bit better. Sometimes when you're transplanting them, you can do it right after they bloom. You can do it early spring as well. I mean, they're going to be fine, but they do tend to like it a little bit better if you wait till late summer, early fall. And then they kind of go dormant underground, and then will pop up in the spring again. But daylilies, again, anytime. Peony, technically anytime, but they do prefer a little bit better in the fall.
Thank you. Great job.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call.
314-436-7900. That's the number. Last chance coming in this episode of the Garden Hotline to ask your question of Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping on 104.1 FM KMOX.
For tuning, this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Into the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping here to answer your questions. 314-436-7900. It's the last chance. Just a few minutes left in the show. Cindy, you're up next. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, guys. Thanks again for this great show. I just wanted to give another positive comment on the use of Monarda or bee balm. In my garden, I found it to be extremely deer resistant. We have deer that have eaten everything from holly bushes to liriope, and we've had the bee balm in the yard now for 3 years, I think. So that's another great quality. So that was it, my comment.
Cindy, thanks for that. Thanks for the call. And you are 100% right. Deer resistant, very deer resistant. And it's something, you know, that we have a lot of calls about, and something that I deal with on a regular basis in my job is trying to find those plants that are deer resistant for our clients and for everyone's gardens. And yet another reason to plant bee balm or Monarda, deer resistant.
What makes a plant deer resistant?
Who knows?
Just deer resistant.
Just doesn't. They don't like to eat it. Doesn't taste good. And, you know, a lot of our smelly plants, and this one, like I said, the foliage is has a strong odor, and a lot of those types of things deer don't like. So a lot of things in the mint family, like I said, and, you know, allium is one that deer don't like, but that's in the onion family, so it's got a strong odor. So things like that deer tend to stay away from. But, yeah, who knows? They're hungry. They eat everything.
All right. So it's time of year. People go to nurseries. And when you go to one, what exactly, whether you're getting annuals or perennials, what should you be looking for in a plant you want to take home?
I think that a really good question. You know, right now everybody's out and about buying plants. And I remember going to nurseries and things like that with my mom when I was little, and I would just, you know, pick out a plant, and she would take it back from me and be like, no, not that one. I'd be like, what? This one's fine, Mom. Like, what's wrong with it? But, you know, it's not always the plant that you might think. Getting the plant with the most flowers and things on it isn't necessarily a good thing. I tend to go for something that's, you know, has a fewer flowers on it, maybe is a little smaller and stockier. Because I want to focus my plants on making roots and not necessarily making flowers. You know, and a lot of times they're forcing these blooms and they're putting extra fertilization or extra product on it so that it will be showy for, you know, for sales purposes. So I'm often looking for, a plant that fills the pot size that it's in. I also look around to see if the plant looks healthy, if there's, you know, yellow leaves or brown leaves or spots, or maybe there's even some bugs flying around. I'm always looking for things that could indicate that there's a pest or disease problem. And I'm nosy. I like to look under in that pot. You know, I'll turn that plant over, pull the pot off, and see how the roots look. If there aren't very many roots, that could mean that the plant just hasn't rooted in yet, or it's been planted not that long ago, or it could be overgrowing that pot, and there could be a ton of roots, which is also not always a good thing. So I check that. And, again, just, I don't always look for that one that's in full bloom. I think that's one that they push all those blooms and you think, oh, look at that pretty thing. In fact, when we send plants out this time of year to be planted, a lot of times we'll cut the blooms off before we even send them to the client's property, because we want them to not focus energy on the flowers. We want them, again, to focus energy on setting those roots and getting rooted in, so they're healthier, quicker.
Does that apply to perennials and annuals?
Not necessarily annuals. That's a great question as far as blooms go, because the annuals you're purchasing because you want all of those blooms. So annuals is fine. This is more for perennials and shrubs that we do that to. Annuals, you know, those are a lot different. In fact, you know, those are fertilized a lot. We fertilize those once they're planted as well, because they tend to be a little bit heavier feeders. But so for annuals, I would just look for, again, something that's appropriately filling the size of the pot that it's in, and that it looks healthy, that it's got nice roots. Again, I turn that plant upside down, take the pot off, and look at those roots and see how well they're growing. Those are kind of the things that I look for whenever I'm purchasing perennials, annuals, shrubs, all of the things.
Do you spend a lot of time at nurseries picking out things these days? I mean, I know you said you are doing a lot of paperwork.
No, I don't personally. We are very fortunate at Pointer that we have David at Pointer. He does all of our purchasing for us. So I get to click send on an email, and then things magically show up. So every now and then I will stop and grab a plant if we're, you know, we forgot something. I actually am spending a lot of time at our wholesale annual supplier, because we're doing our summer annuals right now. So a lot of time at that particular greenhouse, but I'm not spending as much time as I would like at nurseries and greenhouses, although it is dangerous because I spend too much money when I go.
Yeah.
It's a bad bad habit.
Well, you still have your own yard and garden to take care of, too.
I do. And if you went there, you would not think I was a professional gardener because when you work 12 plus hour days, the last thing you want to do when you get home yeah. is pull weeds and put down mulch and prune and things like that. So my garden is a little bit hectic at the moment, but that's okay.
Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Any final thoughts on this Mother's Day weekend?
Yeah, I probably should say Happy Mother's Day to my mom, although I'm not sure she's actually listening. But I'll say it just so I can get credit for saying happy birthday to my mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah, or happy Mother's Day. Too? Oh, my goodness, it's not her birthday. Okay. Happy Mother's Day.
I want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom as well and to Liz. Thank you for tuning in to The Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. We'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.